doing today is actually linking the series we have just finished on the kingdom of God to our next series, which I hope will actually activate us in extending the kingdom of God. Okay, so we know about the kingdom of God a little bit, right? We've heard about it, but we want to be activated in extending his kingdom on earth. You agree with that?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, they're not sleeping. Cool. All right, so Jesus, the Son of God, has come on earth, and with him, there is a new era where the kingdom of God is at hand. That means that the ruling of Christ is working through the very fibers of earth. In every sphere of society, the kingdom of God is working. That's why he left us with that prayer. Don't forget the kingdom of God. Father, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every day we pray, Father, let your kingdom come on earth. And you know in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, there will be no end to the increase of his government. All right? So Jesus, when he comes on earth, something is happening.
Amen.
There will be no end to the increase of his government.
Hallelujah.
And we're praying, Father, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus made a way for the kingdom, but he also modeled to us how to bring the kingdom. And now we are his hands and his feet. And we get to make a difference by bringing the kingdom.
Amen.
You see, I don't like too much when, as Christians, we focus on the activities of the enemy, on the weeds of the world. So it's easy, it's obvious, we can see the activity of the enemy. It's easy to go, oh, look, this is going worse and worse, there's no morality on this earth. People are not behaving like they should be. There's more addiction. We could, as Christian, react like that. But if you look at the activity of Jesus, there is evidences that Jesus is constantly at work.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not saying the enemy is not working. The enemy is working. But you remember the parable of the weeds and things? We don't focus on the weeds. Jesus will pluck the weeds out. We focus on bringing Jesus and getting the earth transformed by his kingdom. Right, just a few examples, fun example for you, right? Before Jesus' time, do you know a little bit about the Maya civilization? Well, those guys used to have human sacrifice. And it was normal to kill your baby to appease the gods. I mean, we're not doing that anymore, right? Okay. Through the Roman Empire, listen, it's really important to know that. Through the Roman Empire, sexual immorality was the norm. Literally, you could take forcefully whatever you wanted sexually. But the first Christian come along and demonstrate how to live another way. They demonstrate how, you know, a man attaches himself to his wife and they create something beautiful that reflects the love of Christ. They demonstrate that. And actually, the ripple of the first Christian coming and Christianity coming over the West has massive impact because it's reflected even nowadays in our rules in society. So, for example, you could argue that the democratic system and some of the laws we have is actually a result of Christianity sweeping through the West. So, you know, don't kill because you'll go to jail. Or don't steal. Don't, you know, those things are directly Christian values, okay? His government is on the increase. His government is on the increase. Take how the politician William Wilberforce fought and brought to the parliamentary campaign that resulted into the abolition of slavery in Great Britain. Big thing. It needed to change. It is a Christian standing in parliament who start to say, look, guys, what are we doing? It's not right, okay? And actually, I'm quoting an article from the BBC. It says, as a politician, William Wilberforce wanted people to embrace a Christianity that would change the whole fabric of British society. That was his vision. He wanted Christ to permeate all the fabric of society. Listen, guys, we're not there yet, okay? Actually, 2 weeks ago, we met this amazing guy called Leroy Logan. Do you know Leroy Logan?
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah. Yes. Because he's a very famous guy, because he's actually the first, I want to get that right, the first black police officer to become a superintendent.
Yeah.
All right? This guy, we met him in a conference. He's a Christian guy. He wanted to study medicine. And God said, no, go to the police force. His own dad, as a black guy, his own dad was attacked by the police in the 60s when the police was actually even more racist than they are now. I'm not saying it's so right. I'm not pretending it's all so. But the police was even more racist then, and his own dad had been attacked to the police, his own family thinking, are you crazy? What? You want to become a police officer? You're clever. What? Or don't you become a doctor? And he's explaining his journey, and how God spoke to him, and he said, oh, I've got to cave in. I've got to go police officer. And he suffered, man. He suffered injustice, the lack of promotion, etc. But he knew he was there as a Christian to bring something of Christ's ruling in the police force. Okay? And he explained to us a couple of things where he was influential. And like I said, I'm not pretending it's all done. It's not. Yeah. But it's the beginning of the increase of his government. We'll have no hand. All right? Take the field of medicine. Okay, one of my favorite guy, because he's French. Let's face it. Louis Pasteur. Do you know Louis Pasteur?
Yeah.
Yes, very famous French microbiologist of the 19th century. That's where you have your word pasteurization. It comes from Louis Pasteur. He discovered the principle of vaccination and the process of pasteurization that actually get rid of bacteria in our foods. So I'm quoting a serious article in the Answers Research Journal, and this is what they say of Louis Pasteur. From his knowledge of the gospel, Pasteur wanted to benefit mankind by having ideas that heal the sick. So, and incredible, this research actually led to the understanding of causes and prevention of disease. It's estimated that he saved the lives of millions. And basically, you know, his research was taken on and other discoveries were made. But for example, he developed the first vaccine against rabies. Or rabies.
Rabies.
It's one of these funny ones. So rabies, okay? And he saved millions of people. It's an example of how a man of faith has a radical impact, bringing the rule of Jesus, the principle of Jesus to society. Listen, I could spend a morning, you know, I'm not even clever enough, I'm not read enough to even know all the, you know, the Christian who had an impact in society. But the point is, Jesus made a way both for our freedom as he rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness, but also he made a way for the renewal of everything on earth. And therein comes this amazing verse in John 14, 12. This incredible declaration of Jesus that, if I'm honest, I didn't believe for most of my Christian life. Okay? Jesus said, you will do greater things than I did. Okay? I mean, I remember thinking, and maybe some of you are thinking the same thing. Let me know if that's your case. I remember thinking, Jesus, how on earth are we supposed to do it? Because for you, it's okay. You are the Son of God and you have superpower. I mean, how on earth am I supposed to do it? Is that some of your thinking this morning?
Yeah.
See, it's all good for Jesus. He's the Son of God. It's all good. Listen, we could have another whole preach on that. But if you read Philippians 2, you will see that it says that Jesus, although fully God, he chose to live fully as a man. And he did not use his divinity as he walked through the earth. So all the miracle Jesus did was in obedience to his Father, connected to his Father, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because he was modeling it for us.
Yeah.
He was modeling it for us, how it feels to be a man connected to God. You know? He could have tapped, he's fully God, that's never changed, he could have tapped in that, but he chose to do it in obedience to his Father, following his Father, following the voice of his Father. So, today I want to wish through John 14 and John 15, okay? Because in these two chapters, you have the key there. Jesus reveals on how he brought the kingdom to earth and how we can do it as well as his disciple. Can you see what I'm trying to do? Yeah? How is it possible? How are we supposed to do it? Well, we follow the example of Jesus. That's all we have to do. So let's have a look. First of all, I want to say I won't do it justice. Those two chapters is full of diamonds. We could preach for 10 years on this, okay? But I would like to propose to you to take these two chapters and cherish them, and maybe the next few weeks to read them over and over and ask Holy Spirit to speak to you as you're reading them, okay? Because they are very, very rich. Okay, so let's have a little look, and I'm going to take the main points in line of what I'm talking about. Okay, so first, I've got to see. Here we go. So, this is chapter 14. You could see there's lots, and I cut some, okay? So let me just, sometimes I'm going to paraphrase, sometimes I'm going to read, because it's just for the sake of time. So the context is Jesus comforting his disciples, and he's about to leave them and ascend, okay? And he said to you, don't worry, I'm going before you, I prepare your place, okay? I'm going before you. And Thomas said, what do you mean? Where you are going? Because we don't even know the way. So he said, oh, Jesus answered, don't worry, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Hallelujah.
If you really know me, you will know the Father.
Amen.
From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip is thick. Philip doesn't get it. So he asks, oh, but show me the Father then. No, Jesus said, so Jesus, I'm really answering, said, you really don't get it, do you? I just told you, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The word that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Can you see? It's the Father who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the work itself. He say, look at the fruit. And here comes a verse. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father.
Hallelujah.
And I will do, I am close to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Amen. Amen.
And you go, oh, okay, but you will be there, Jesus, and we get it. You and your Father are one, but you will be there, Jesus, and we're down there. But we're still supposed to ask you, and you will do. How is that possible? Well, follow the next few verses. It says, he listens to say, oh, I'm sending you the Helper, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Don't worry, he is the Spirit of truth. And you will not be left as orphan because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. Remember, God is Trinity. Holy Spirit is part of them too.
Hallelujah.
Okay? So they work together. So before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. Because I live, you also will live. And listen to that. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Amen.
Okay? All of this are spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, all right, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He will remind you everything I've said to you.
Amen.
Okay, and he carries on. Okay? And we will go into physics. So, what I want to suggest to you, Whoa, what a passage. Honestly. Wow. So, Jesus was able to do what he was doing because there was an intimacy and a unity between him and the Father. That's the first thing we see in the text. You see me, you see the Father. We are one. You know, and I only do what he's telling me to do.
Amen.
And so I can ask the Father and he will give me because we are one. Yeah? I'm asking according to his will. So we are one, so he's blessing me. That's the first thing we see in that text. Okay? Now, in that text, he calls us to the same unity and intimacy with him. Because he said, believe in me. Ask me and I will do it as well. In the same way, can you see there's like a mirroring?
Yeah.
Can you see? There's a mirroring. What has happened between me and my Father? I want this to happen between you, my children, and me.
Amen.
Okay? So he calls us to the same unity and intimacy with him. Believe in me. Ask in my name. And I will do it. And this intimacy and unity is only possible through Holy Spirit, who is God. Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, they're all one.
Amen.
That's how it is possible. Okay? So Jesus is explaining to them, when you see me, you see the Father, because I am in the Father. And yes, I'm about to go, but I'm sending the Helper. Remember, you know Holy Spirit, and now he's going to live in you. So you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Literally saying, we're there, we're the children of God, we're part of his family, we're there, we have access, we have access. We're right in there. Okay? So you will know, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you everything I've said to you. That is how you will do the greater thing. Okay? We cannot bear fruits for the glory of God. We cannot advance the kingdom without intimacy with Holy Spirit. We cannot. That's the conclusion we need to have when we read that. We need to know Jesus. We need to know the Father. We need to know his will. We need to ask according to his will. We do by knowing the Holy Spirit, having an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That unity and intimacy will bring the fruit, because we will see his heart, we will hear his voice, we will obey his command, we will pray and we ask according to his will, and we will get the answer. This is a part of relationship empowered by the Holy Spirit. And these themes continue in John 15. I think John 15 is explaining to you a little bit more about what kind of connection there is between us and God. Okay? And in there, you can see, there is this thing of obeying his command, and I'm going to explain a little bit about that. Okay? So John 15. All right. So what kind of connection we have? Well, you know, you all know this verse really well. Well, Father is the vine and we are the branches. Basically, it means that Father is the source of all life. He's the source of all life. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes, so it will get a little bit more fruitful. So in a sense, you know, if you're connected to Father and there's not much fruit, well, it's going to kind of, something, you know, it's going to facilitate you getting life. That's his purpose. His purpose is not to punish or use instrument to kind of like make sure that you're doing the Christian thing. No, he wants to flow life to you. That's his purpose, okay? And he says here, remain in me. So remain in you. So we're still in this thing of being together in intimacy. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must be connected to the source, because I am the vine, and the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything. I mean, remove yourself from the life, you cannot do anything. Okay? And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask again. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. All right, that's connected to very much when Jesus, you know, somebody asked Jesus, what are the new law in the New Testament? He said, well, there's no law. There's one, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. We is coming back here. We love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And here it comes, something really profound. You are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I say. You are my friends. I no longer call you servant. Wow, what? I've called you friends for everything that I learned from others I have made from you. I did not you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. This is my command, love each other. What a passage. What a passage. My arms fell off every time I read that. Honestly, first of all, it looks to me that bearing fruit seems to be connected to a process of pruning. Okay? We in the kingdom, we just go like, that's it. No, actually, God can trust you when he knows you're connected to him. And so there's a process of pruning. What is it that you love more than God? That's the process of pruning. Say, oh, in your life things might not work out. That's not God punishing you. Maybe it is you making choices that not putting God first. So that's the process of pruning. It's painful, but eventually you will see, oh my gosh, I'm not doing the right thing the right way. His Father showing me a better way. Oh, hold on, and to be connected again, surrender. And you know what I'm saying? This is a process. There's a process of pruning. You know, we will go through stuff. Okay? But God's heart is to flow life. The result should be to flow life to us. Okay? And another thing is, remaining in him is about loving him. So you see, we can't do anything about him. All we have to do is remain in him. I think it talks about positioning ourselves to love God. Positioning ourselves to love God. Say, God, you are everything. You are my God. You are my mind, my spirit, and my soul. And I worship you. And you are my Lord. And I will follow you with all my heart. Yes, sometimes I mess up. Yes, sometimes I won't get it right. But yeah, it's true. And sometimes you will have to show me a better way. And sometimes I still will have to repent. But I love you. This is at the core of everything I am. Okay? And guess what? When we love him, something happens in our heart that we want to please him. Yeah? You know that it's true even on a human level. I mean, if you love someone really very much, you want to please them, right? And that's what happened with us. We love God so much. And suddenly, what kicks in our heart is, oh, Lord, how to please you. And here are the commandments kicking in. And Jesus would say, yeah, you know what? When you use those, when you insult people, it doesn't have a lot of good fruit there. You know, remember, I've called you to love people and to shower blessing on people, not to curse them. Or when you're harsh and you have when you gossip, you know, that's not great. It's not flowing life. You need a bit of power, mate. Can you see how it goes together? So we kind of like remain in him, we source of life, we start to love him, and in it we're learning to follow his commandment. Now, I feel this text sometimes is a little bit read in the wrong way, because there is this sentence to say, if you keep his commandment, you remain in my love. So people say, do you just love me because I'm keeping your commandment? Is that conditional? No. No, 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 no. That's, it says remaining in my love. It doesn't say, if you don't obey the commandment, I don't love you anymore. It does not say that. Okay? Let me just unpack that a little one, because I think it's a sticky one. Okay? So, all right. God's love is unconditional, and we know that from many, many other texts. We know that we're saved by grace, and he loves us, whatever we want. But he calls us to a better life, which is remaining in his love. It's a positioning. It's a positioning. So let me illustrate. Some of you are mom and dad, but you will, if you're not, you will understand what I'm talking about. So say you're a mom and dad, and you have teenagers, okay? I know this illustration very well. Okay, you say to your teenager, you know, be careful about what you do because you might get hurt. This is not a very good idea to go to parties and get super drunk and do all sorts of things. I could go in the detail. It might not be a good idea. So you, as a mom and dad, you kind of say some kind of commandment. You know what I mean? Your teenagers goes to party and do whatever. Actually, you can't control them, right? They might mess up. They might do things wrong. Okay? Does it mean you don't love them anymore? No. You love them the same. You love them exactly the same, whether they've done the thing you said to them that was not good. Okay? But that teenager, that child, has the choice to position themselves in what you provide for them. Yes or no? They have the choice. They can choose to remain in your love, in the sense of follow what the instruction, because it's good for them. So this is saying, keep my commandment, because it's about remaining in my love, remaining in the perfect plan for you, remaining in the blessing, positioning yourself for the favor of God. If you go over there, independently, do whatever you want, he still loves you. That's the grace of God. Okay. Sometimes I'm thinking, you're too good, God. But he still loves you exactly the same. You might even been saved, but you messed up. Okay? But the thing is, you're not over there, showered with the blessing and the favor. So when he say, don't do that, you see the rules? The rules is not to take away your freedom. The rule is so that you will live a life which is incredibly fruitful and incredibly blessed. Amen. Can you see that? Does it make sense to you? So keeping his commandment is about remaining in his love, connected to his love, connected to his life, okay? And, which is extraordinary, loving others. If we love God, if we do all of that, but still don't love others, that means we won't be doing what God says. It's the flowing of life is love. The flowing of life is loving others. Okay, that's why God is love, and it's one of the most important things for him, that we love others. So in this process, he said, you know what? You're not even servant for me. You are friends. You are friends. You can partner with me. You can partner. You know, servants get orders. Do this, do that, do this, do that. But then Jesus said, your identity is actually, yeah, of course we do what God says, you know, but it's not an order. It becomes something you do because you're friend. You're working together. It's a change of identity that we are his son and daughter, and then we are his friends. We partner together as we're doing life. So there is a grafting in him, a knowing him, a loving him that transforms us. And in this process, we learn to love his covenant. We start to believe in him. We are getting changed to his image. We receive a new identity. We start partnering with him. And that's what prepares us for kingdom impact. That's what bear the fruits. Because if you love God and you are a Christian, but your pipes are all dirty. If your pipes are all dirty, you're not going to be able to flow the life of God like he wants to. Can you see that? And those are the things that we are going to develop in our new preaching series.
Amen.
Okay, so let me show you something. I forgot to put that, but I'll just explain that. All right, let me go straight to this one. There's actually three key pillars for advancing the kingdom, okay? And these three key pillars are the three themes we've just been seeing in John 14 and 15. It's actually, the first one is intimacy with God. So are we connected to God? Do we love him? Do we leaning out of his presence? Are we remaining grafted to the vine? We're knowing him and we know he is a good God and he loves us. That is a first big pillar, which is about intimacy and unity with God. Then another big pillar is about our identity. What is it that we believe? What it is that we believe about who we are in him? Are we believing that we are saints and not just sinners, which have been saved, and we're still sinners? No, we are saints. We will see which this identity. We are son and daughter. We are access to the resource of the kingdom. That's our identity. We are called friends. I didn't put in anything, but we just see we are called friends. We are not servant. All of that is about what we believe about ourselves, about the identity. And the last one is the impact. So it's about bringing heaven to earth. It's about do the greater thing that John 14, 12 is saying. It's about healing. It's about casting out demons. It's about miracle. It's about salvation. It's about making disciples. And I should have had, it's about the renewal of the whole earth. It's about when I'm going to work, I'm bringing the kingdom of God. It's all about that. These three things are intertwined. Okay, we can't separate them because we know that if we know God better, we will have a renewed identity. And if we have we know God better and we have a renewed identity, we will have some impact. So they all kind of mix together, right? And that's why the fruit comes from these three pillars being renewed in our lives. Okay, it's a kind of a fine balanced equilibrium here. Okay, now, when this flow between these three things is not working very well, what we get is very unbalanced Christianity. Okay? And I'm going to show you a slide, but there's no judgment in this slide. I have to tell you, I've been in these positions myself, in all the positions. Okay? So I have experienced this position all myself. Okay? So when the flow between this three things is unbalanced, we have an unbalanced Christianity. Sorry, excuse me.
Sorry.
Ah, it didn't work. Okay, cool. All right. So, say for example, I'm going to turn a little bit so I can see the slide as well. Say for example that you have quite limited revelation of God. So you know that God is all-powerful, he is amazing, you recognize his lordship, you live for him fully, okay? You know he's your father, but somehow you have not developed an identity as a son and daughter of an amazing good father. If you don't know personally that God loves you, loves you, loves you, and that he is good, 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 you will have a vision of God which somehow is like, you know, is a little harsh and he wants you to do things. So basically, he's a great father, but what he wants is he wants you to work for him. Yeah? I have been there. My first 15 years in being a Christian was there. I love God with all my heart. I serve God really, really hard. But I was not completely convinced he personally loved me and he was so good. So I saw God a little bit like a punisher and I needed to follow the rules. Yeah? That's what I needed to do. I needed to follow the rules, work hard. Okay? Because I didn't know my identity with God and I have a very partial view of God and my intimacy was just about He is Lord. I didn't know He was the good Father. Okay? The consequence here is, yes, you can have some impact. I mean, in that state, I healed the sick. Because in my church, we had a really big revival culture. So we still did heal the sick. We saw miracles. So you can have impact. But what it is you work a lot in your own effort, and there's no joy in it. And actually, the danger is you will burn out. Because you are so like working like a slave. You're a servant. You're a good servant. But you've not learned to be the son and the daughter of the Almighty God. That's the first big problem. And some Christians live like that. Okay. Then another problem you can have is, do you know what? You're further along the way, and yes, you know He's the good Father. You're loving, you enjoy basking in His goodness and His presence. Oh, you love it. And actually, you love it because you know it has been many blessings for you. And actually, you have learned that you are accepted, you are forgiven, and you just enjoy God because you know that God, in God, there's all blessing. Yeah? I mean, you say, oh, that sounds quite good. Yes, that sounds really good. But in that, you're enjoying primarily God for yourself. You completely forgot the mission. You forgot that as a Christian, you're here on earth to extend the kingdom. So you love God, you have the right identity, the right intimacy with God, and God loves you, but you forget to work at the harvest, you forget to extend the kingdom. You forgot that the blessing of God is not just for you and your family, it's for your community, it's for people at work. So in that, not only you're not participating to the impact, you're not bearing the fruit you should be bearing, but as well, you know, you're limiting what God can do in your life. You're not going to grow because there's more. You could discover so much more of the power of God and the love of God for others and how He can heal and how He can bless other people. Can you see what I'm saying? So that's another limited view here for getting the mission. Now, down there, I've done all of those, by the way. Like I said, I've done all of those, so I'm not judging anyone, okay? And down there, do you know what? You connected to God, you love Him, and you have discovered your identity, and you know you are powerful, and you know you are victorious, okay? And you know that in His name you can do certain things, so you start to really take position, and you are good at it, and God use you because you know what? God anoints people and He never repents Himself of His anointing, so He use you. He use you and things are starting to change and you get some fruit and you get some impact. But along the way, for whatever reason, you neglected your intimacy with God, your connection with God. You neglect that. Whoa, He is in me, I am in you. I can do nothing about from the Father. The question I'm asking you in this power trip, who is getting the glory? Who is getting the glory? It's not Jesus, because we should still be doing the thing He's asked us to do. It's not us going like, oh, okay, got it, done the course, now I'm going to march and I'm going to extend the kingdom by myself. No, in remaining in Him, we are doing that with Him. Partner with Him. We still listen to His voice. We still connect to the vine. Okay. Are you with me still? Okay. I'm going to land now. Okay. So in the next few months, we're going to look at topics that help us to have a really good understanding of what it means to be in God and God in us. So that we would develop intimacy, but develop as well identity, and that we would think kingdom, how to extend this kingdom. You see, I think we cannot extend the kingdom of God properly if we don't have this free thing working together. Okay? So this is what we will do. Yeah. So we will look at topic in intimacy, so knowing God and knowing how He's good, how to live out of the presence of God, how to live connected. When we say presence of God, really we should say living with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Living with the Holy Spirit in us. How to be remaining and surrounding, how the obedience work. How cleaning the pipe works when we hear him, all right? And then knowing his voice, you know? And then we will look at the identity that we are a new creation in Christ, that old has gone. We are saints now. We are glorious by Jesus Christ. We are son and daughter. We are adopted. We are in his family. That's where we have access to the good Father. And we can start dreaming with God because we don't have orphan mindset. Like he says, I'm not leaving you as orphan. You are now in family. Okay, so now we can start to partner with him. We can learn to be friends, to live out of the abundance of the kingdom. And finally, we look at the impact. You know, how does Holy Spirit empower us? Because we're not supposed to have words of persuasion, but demonstration. So how does that work? The power of faith, purity, character, all together. And then the kingdom is why the church exists. Because, we're here. So to be apostolic, I mean, we are apostolic people. That means in church, we are equipping people to do the kingdom. That's what it means. So in church, the church is very, very important because we support each other, we love each other, we're a community of friends and believers, we love each other, and then we equip each other to basically do the kingdom. And then we will see in that what is the role of leadership, how the leadership is there to serve the body, to equip people in growing in these three things, intimacy, identity, in order to impact the kingdom. So, and we will see a little bit about healing. So in pinks are practical topics that you will learn to do. You will learn to do. Okay. How does it sound? Does it sound exciting? Yeah? Okay, so let me bring things to conclusion. All right. Right. Wow. We cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit.